Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. We have redistricting coming up. It happens every 10 years after the census. Census is in. There should be redistricting in advance of the 2022 elections. And it has an impact, obviously, on state legislature seats, state Senate and state assembly. But I want to talk now about its impact on congressional seats here and around the country. And here is the state of events right now. There are 18 states where the Republicans control everything. State Senate, House of Representatives, House of the state assemblies, and the governor. They can do whatever they want. And under Supreme Court rulings, they have a lot of leeway, unfortunately. There are three states that are going to gain congressional seats because of population shifts. Every 10 years, they readjust it. So, you know, Wisconsin used to have 10 congressional seats back about 60 years ago. Then they went down to 9. Now we're at 8 because our population has remained steady. But Texas, Florida, and North Carolina are going to get new seats, new congressional seats. And it's going to come at the expense of northern states. The only rule is that every state has to have at least one congressman. And a congressional seat right now is about every 700,000 in population. So even if a state has less than 700,000, let's say a Wyoming or a North Dakota, I don't know what their population is, but some of them only have one congressional seat, Montana, they will always have that. But some states that have more than that and are reducing in population will lose one. There are 435 congressmen, that's not going up. So some get shifted to Florida, North Carolina, and Texas, the warm weather states. Now, those legislatures down there and those governors down there, you know, Florida and Texas have Republican governors. North Carolina is a Democratic governor, but it's, you know, fundamentally a very Republican state. They are going to make sure that those seats are gerrymandered to become Republican seats. And some people are afraid that the Democrats could lose our majority in the House of Representatives just because of new seats being created in Texas, Florida, North Carolina. They're going to get a couple of seats each, maybe more than that. Now, here's the deal. The Republicans are also targeting two suburban Atlanta seats. Remember, they have a Republican governor in Georgia, and they have a Republican legislature. And they're going to monkey around with them to try to turn at least one of them Republican. They're Democratic seats right now. There is a seat in Ohio that the Democrats have held since 1985. And what the Republicans are doing, they have a Republican governor in Ohio, Republican legislature. They're going to monkey around with that and try to turn that into a Republican seat. And in Houston, where there's some Democratic congressmen, they are going to bleed some Democratic voters out of Houston. So this is going on. And ultimately, we need fair maps. And one of the provisions in the voting rights bill and that Nancy Pelosi's put in the House and Schumer in the Senate is that there will be fair maps commissions for every state for congressional seats. And they can do that. You know, it's a congressional election. We mandate that congressional elections are the first Tuesday in November and the even numbered years. You can do whatever you want if you are the federal government. That will take Republican support. We won't get it. I think we should suspend the filibuster requirement and just ram that through. But in any event, so let's say we don't. What's going to happen in Wisconsin? We have 8 congressional seats. The day will come when we have 7, believe it or not. We used to have 10. Then it went to 9. Now it's 8. I don't think we're going to lose one now, but, you know, in the deep future, we may get down to 7. So what do we have? Well, the first congressional district used to be held by Les Aspin as a Democratic seat. And what the Republicans did by gerrymandering is move part of Waukesha County and the southern Milwaukee suburban counties, Franklin, Hales Corners, that kind of thing, into the first congressional district to make it more Republican. It's hard for a Democrat to hold it. I don't think that there should be any portion of Milwaukee County in the first congressional district. I think the counties should be integral units, and they should, their unity of interest. People in Hales Corners and Franklin have a lot more in common with Milwaukee, the city, than they do with Janesville. But that's what happened. So there's going to be a fight over that. We have a Republican gerrymandered legislature, but we have a Democratic governor who will veto a crooked bill. It'll go to the courts. And I'm hoping that they take Waukesha County and Milwaukee County units. It was only done to put a lot of Republican votes in the first district and just make Waukesha County a community of interest and Milwaukee a community of interest and do it the right way. Sheboygan is split up 7 days from Sunday. On the state legislature, Greene County, my wife's home county where she grew up, Monroe, Wisconsin, in that area, that's split up all over the place to make sure there's a Republican assemblyman. There shouldn't be a Republican assemblyman down there. And there shouldn't be a Republican state senator that represents that. And it's a real strange, twisted district. So that's what is coming up. Now, what is the solution? What is the solution? Well, one solution is to pass the federal legislation mandating fair maps commission on all the states. The southern states are never going to put in a fair maps commission. Wisconsin never will if it has to get through a gerrymandered legislature. And they are like a virus, these Republicans, trying to replicate themselves for 10 more years by more gerrymandering. You wouldn't have Voss elected in any normal district. Nobody, they look at Voss and he comes in a space suit, a hazmat suit, and says, you don't have to wear a mask. And he basically has breathing equipment. And you know, you look at a guy like that, you go, you're bad news. You know, guy, you're not in the up and up. But with gerrymandering, he gets in. So that's where we have it. If we do not get that bill passed because we don't have the federal bill, because we don't have enough votes, I strongly urge Pelosi and I strongly urge Schumer to simply say, we are getting rid of the filibuster in the Senate right now. Pelosi's not in the Senate, but she has enormous influence as Speaker. And we're going to do it on a case-by-case basis. You do fair maps, or we are yanking the filibuster for this bill only. Yeah, Luke.
Yeah, I think that would be one of the most strategic things that the Dems in Congress could do is name the John Lewis Democracy Bill and have Republicans try to filibuster the bill that would expand Democratic norms across the country and name it after John Lewis and have them try to use the filibuster to break that. And that is what the Dems will use to then nuke the filibuster. And it just makes the most sense.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And the thing is, I hope they get that aggressive. I mean, you know, right now they're saying the Republicans will go, now we're going to filibuster. Okay, go away. In the 60s, they do that to civil rights legislation. And John Kennedy, the Democrats, said, go ahead and filibuster. And they look like idiots. They were on TV reading children's books and the Bible and all this kind of stuff. For the first time, most of them reading the Bible. And there they are shooting their goddamn mouths off. And people suddenly got very, very sick and tired of these people. They got very sick and tired of these people. And I think we have to force them to do that to look like idiots this time. Because if we don't force them, bad things are going to happen. We're coming to the end of the show. Matt Flynn Direct. We're back same time, same place tomorrow. There's a lot of great programming coming up, syndicated programming. Dom and Crute, Devil's Advocate, the Earl Ingram Throw, Robinson. And of course, Saturday, great programming spearheaded by Thinking Outside the Pizza Box by my friend Pizza Box Mike, who's a sage. He's a sage. He has quite a bit to say. So I'm signing off for today. Matt Flynn Direct. Back tomorrow, same time, same place. You learn to live again. It's times like these you give and give again.